As we look ahead to the 2025 BYU football season, which players are the most important for the Cougars to retain for next season? Uncle B, Blaine Fowler, joins us to discuss the importance of retaining those players, bolstering the team through the portal, and the role of the tight end in BYU's offense moving forward.
Revenue sharing is getting closer to becoming a reality in college sports. We'll look at what one Big 12 school's plan is for revenue distribution, and if we think that'd work at BYU. And the latest Deep Blue, featuring Dallin Hall's faith that serving a mission won't hinder him from achieving his goal of playing in the NBA.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Hope you're enjoying this Wednesday, December 18th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who's ready to hang yet another banner in Studio B, Jerem Jordan.
So we wish BYU was in the playoff. Let's not, mince words here. But the Alamo Bowl is the best situation we've set outside of the playoff. So the Alamo Bowl posted this, the number one ranked bowl game outside of the CFP, according to Sports Illustrated, which is still a thing, The Athletic, Athlon, Washington Post, Yahoo Sports. So, let's hang a banner. Put it up at Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Best non-playoff bowl game.
Yes. And some teams don't even go to bowl games. So, it's nice to be in one and be in the best bowl game outside the playoff. We wish BYU was in the playoff. Don't get me wrong. Still not over 9-0 in number 3 seed on a Tuesday night. Not over it quite yet. Going to get there. Still dealing with that. But this is an exciting situation for
you. No question. We know. Had the chips fallen a certain way on the final week of the regular season, BYU-Colorado could have been the Big 12 championship game.
And then it wouldn't be the Alamo Bowl.
It would be the Big 12 championship game, and then someone's going to the playoff.
It would be the playoff for the Pop-Tarts, probably, yeah.
But, as it stands, really entertaining, exciting bowl game matchup featuring the Heisman Trophy winner, likely the number one quarterback drafted in this year's NFL draft in Shedeur Sanders, and one of the darlings of college football in America this season in BYU. Can't wait to watch. Where are we going to hang the banner is the question.
At Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Oh, we're doing it at the stadium?
Yeah. Might as well.
Going to be right alongside the one that still hasn't been hung up for the de facto Pac-12 South champions?
Yeah. Well, we hung that. I guess we hung that in here so we can hang it. Yeah, yeah. Right there.
I don't know.
Right
where are we going to put it?
Hang it up.
All right. And those are non-important questions. It's time to discuss important things. Rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Who's coming back? Who didn't jump in the portal that we feel like could be the guy next year?
Look is white. The fire for the end zone. Roberts there. Touchdown! Chase! The five! The touchdown! Throws under duress and it is intercepted! Why not, Isaiah Glasker?
What's trending? Presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Recruiting has always been the lifeblood of a college football team. No matter what program you're coaching for, it starts with recruiting. And the recruiting realm has changed, obviously, especially over the last 4 or 5 years with the evolution of the transfer portal. So, Jerem, as we look at the new age recruiting scheme and philosophy, it's time to look at the to-do list this time of year in college football with the transfer portal era on mind and re-recruiting your current roster, which Kalani Sitake says is absolutely a thing and one of the most difficult things he does as a coach. Let's discuss which five players are the most important for BYU football to re-recruit, if you have to, or retain going into next season. What's on your list?
I put it out on X a couple weeks ago, but Chase Roberts is number one. The other four, Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, LJ Martin, Keelan Marion. These are the five I think are the most important to retain for BYU. Why didn't I have Jake Retzloff on there? Because I think he's coming back. I think these guys could be swayed to go elsewhere, whether that's NFL opportunities or other teams. But I think it's important to retain these guys. Three of these five at skill positions, two of your starting linebackers. I feel like Harrison Taggart is a guy that would come back to BYU. Who knows, though? You could easily be lured by the portal and the finances involved there and the opportunity at a even bigger level, perhaps. Like, we saw Keenan Peely leave for Tennessee a couple years ago. We didn't see that coming. So, yeah, to me, those are the five most important. I would love to see Chase Roberts return. He's BYU's best receiver. Darius Lassiter was the 1B to his 1A this year. Those two are really important. Chase Roberts feels like an NFL receiver. I'm not sure if he'd be drafted. If he was, it feels like a seventh-round kind of guy right now. So if he wants to up his stock potentially, hey, come back. And now that you can offer NIL and there is revenue sharing and whatnot, players are going to make more money than they've ever made starting next year. So if it's about money, you can make that at BYU. If you stay here. So I would love to see those five retained.
Our lists are not far off. In fact, only one player different. And again, we don't look at each other's lists. We don't discuss it when we have our production call in the morning.
No, just kidding.
I only have one player different. So I'm with you. Chase Roberts, Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, Keelan Marion, and Will Farron. Again, I don't think Will's going anywhere. He is a BYU guy. He's a Kelly Papinga guy. But if we're talking just strictly importance, and if there was a big-time team, let's say Alabama comes in calling, they're like, look, we need a way more reliable kicker.
They didn't even make the playoff, though.
And we're going to pay you double in NIL. We're going to do all these things. Like, don't put anything past these big-time programs to come and try and find quality special teams players. So, again, Will's not going anywhere, but I do want to emphasize that I think it's critical that he is part of this BYU team moving forward because of everything he meant to BYU football this season and what they put together in a 10-win regular season. So only one difference there. LJ Martin is absolutely a critical part for BYU. And who knows with what the running back room will look like next year. We always think like, oh, we're good. We're good. And then there's a name or two that hop in the portal and we're like,
yeah,
wait a second.
Just it depends on playing time and money and situation and quality of life. And you never know what – so decisions are based on what you care about. We don't know what every individual player cares about per se. We just see what we care about. And
yes.
Then we go, why don't you care about it as much as I care about it? That's not how it works. That's not how it works. So who knows what the offseason will look like. But I get the sense that BYU is able to retain more players than most schools in terms of who goes and whatnot. There's one starter that has jumped in the portal. That's it. If it's a Ice Moore, a Jackson Bowers one, it's certainly disappointing and it's a bummer. Those guys weren't factoring in, and maybe that's why they left, because they were like, I want to factor
maybe
in. And they could have factored in this next year, I would imagine, had they stayed around. We'll see. We also don't know the conversations that are being had with what the future looks like from coaches to said players. Remember, they have to trim roster. Roster's down from 120 to 105, so we don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, and you brought up Jake Retzlaff.
Yeah.
I'm with you. He's not going anywhere. He's BYU's incumbent. He is the senior quarterback next year. And yeah, he's super critical to what Aaron Roderick wants to try and do.
Absolutely.
He's the reason that BYU will be picked probably somewhere in the top six teams of the Big 12 going into next season because they return a senior quarterback from a team that just won 10 games in the regular season.
And if they don't, then really people thought BYU was just lucky this year. But it's like, you can't lock into 10 games. Like, you can clutch into 10 games. There are moments where you get lucky, but you can't get lucky like six times. Come on. So, yeah, we don't have Jake on here because we feel like Jake's coming back. I think this is a great situation for Jake. It'll be his third year starting games at BYU. It's a system that he knows. He's loved here. He's accepted here. He's created a big brand for himself as BYJU, as he calls himself. I think it's a good situation for him and BYU. I'm excited about Jake Retzlaff is the guy going into next year.
If I told you that BYU was indeed bringing back all of the guys that we just listed, Chase Roberts, LJ Martin, Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, Keelan Marion, Will Farron, all of them are coming back and that core is intact, how do you not feel at least a little bit optimistic about BYU trying to replicate something close to what they did this year?
I would. You never know. Because stuff happens. But, you know, what if you go 2-4 in one score games? Now it's a different season.
You're an 8-win team.
I'm confident BYU would win 8-plus next year. Is BYU going to challenge for the Big 12 championship next year? I hope. I don't know that. Just because you return the same team doesn't mean you're going to replicate those results. Ask Oklahoma State, who was in the Big 12 title game and then didn't win a Big 12 game.
They had 20 starters back.
They had the quarterback. They had the Doak Walker Award winner. They had the whole offensive line. And they stunk. There's no guarantee.
And their receivers were good.
Right? They had good receivers. There's no guarantee that BYU can replicate what it did last year. We certainly hope and expect that BYU will approximate something in that realm, like 8-plus wins. But 8-plus next year might be disappointing given 10 this year, because we're going to go into next year feeling like, okay, BYU should contend for a Big 12 championship. They should contend for a spot in the title game. If they don't, we'd be disappointed. So you just never know.
Injuries
pick
13th, are a wild card, yeah.
ASU's pick 16th. They win the league. Oklahoma State and Utah stunk. Like, that's the fun part of sports. It's also the excruciating, annoying part of it as well. But we got to talk about stuff up here, so we'll talk expectations.
Yeah, and obviously, injuries are a wild card.
Right.
Utah was decimated by injury this year. Oklahoma State, their two best defenders, were out three games into the season.
They were decimated by that, but
and
I
bad
don't,
play.
I don't know why they stuck so bad on
and
offense.
And bad play, right? But it is.
And BYU needed a clutch play to win.
It's a fickle
which
beast.
Is wild.
It is a fickle beast.
But I love it. I don't. It's not a. You're not programming a computer. It's not binary. Ones and zeros. The Matrix. Like I love the nuance. I love the play here, play there. Oh no, this happened. That BYU benefited from that this year. They benefited from those situations.
You need
this
a
year.
Measure of luck. You need to be good. You need to be consistent. But every special
preparation
season
meets opportunity.
Has
luck. Yeah, clutch luck. Play here, play there. Awesome. You need a holding call on 4th and 10. You need a Darius Lassiter, Oklahoma State. You need a Crew Wakely pick against Baylor. You need a field goal against Utah. Absolutely. It was so fun.
I can't wait to see what the over-under for BYU is next season. I'm guessing it's probably going to show up around 7.5.
That low even with the retention? If it's like we talked about?
Probably, because of all the things we just talked about.
I would, yeah. But again, who knows?
The parity of the Big 12.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what the value of predicting anything is after this year in the Big 12. Like, we're going to do it because we have 5 hours a week to fill here.
Yes.
We can't just not do that.
Think about the top four teams in league, okay? Iowa State picked to finish 6th, Colorado 11th, BYU 13th, and Arizona State, as you just talked about, dead last at number 16. Those were the top four teams, 6, 11, 13, and 16. This is the beauty of sport. That's why they play the games. Yeah. But if BYU can somehow re-recruit these players that
right?
we just talked about.
And add to it.
I'm feeling very good about an 8-plus win season.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you just automatically get better and get to 11. We hope.
Listen, 8 wins. If you told me that BYU is going to win 8 regular season games again next year, awesome.
I think the fan base.
It's great. I know. Expectations are a little adjusted,
yeah.
But.
Yeah.
An 8-win season as a Power 4 team is never a bad thing. It's never a bad thing.
It is when you expect 10-plus, though.
Do we expect 10-plus?
C-22. C-2022. That was a disappointing 8-5.
But BYU wasn't a Power 4 team at that point.
It doesn't change that much.
It's disappointing, man.
Well, now that BYU won 10, it's like, oh, they can do it.
They can.
So people are going to sort of
the senior quarterback situation. And if they bring back these players, we'll take it to that route. Why not 10 again?
And we've never had senior quarterback P4, so who knows what that looks like.
All right. We've given you our list of most important players for BYU to retain, to re-recruit, and bring back for next season. We want you to give us your number one player on that list. Our question of the day is, who is the most important player for BYU football to retain for 2025? At CougFan1586 on X Answers, Chase Roberts. And it's not close. He is the definition of clutch. But even more importantly, he is a culture champion in the locker room. Need him to stay one more year to give Jake the shot at reaching his full potential. If Chase stays, I think BYU wins the Big 12.
That'd be awesome.
Is Chase that much of a difference maker? Get BYU to a Big 12 championship?
I mean, I'd love to have him. I'd feel better about BYU's chances.
Hashtag BYUSN. On X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Revenue sharing of up to $20.5 million coming to college sports. In an interview late last week, Texas Tech AD Kirby Hocutt broke down what Texas Tech plans to do. So here's what they plan. So 74% of that revenue will go to football. That's $15.1 million. 17 to 18% to men's hoops. That's about $3.6 million. And then women's basketball, baseball, other sports, 2% or less, $500K or less. Are you expecting something similar for BYU? And again, I doubt BYU is going to publish what they do.
They won't.
They don't have to.
They shouldn't.
Texas Tech, frankly, didn't have to. They just got out in front of this.
Yeah, I saw some of the comments in response to this, and it was like, whoa, why is football giving that much money?
Isn't it in the name?
Come on.
Revenue sharing?
Come on.
Like, we love the Olympic sports here. We call most of
yes.
this, but
We are the champions of those Olympic sports.
Don't we understand?
But if you are talking about a functioning business model, which collegiate athletics are right now, it is a business because of all the money involved.
Yep.
You have to operate a successful business, and you have to look at which sports sell the most tickets, are worth the most money in selling said tickets and merchandising and all of that stuff. And you have to then adjust accordingly. So I know everybody wants a fair share of the pie, but if you want to run a successful business model, I think this is totally fair. Yeah. Texas Tech is a great baseball school, Jerem. And even baseballs, they said staying at 11.7 scholarships, they're not going to make any changes there, and they get a very small portion of the pie. And it's a baseball state. It's a good baseball school who has College World Series experience recently.
How much revenue is baseball generating?
That is the question. Yeah. So, yeah, I expect BYU to do something similar, but I do not think BYU is wanting to put anything out there publicly so that people can pick it apart and decimate it. Because, let's be honest, BYU is under a different microscope than Texas Tech is.
BYU literally didn't even say the year extension on Kalani Sitake.
Because they're under a different microscope than everybody else.
Yeah, they chose not to.
Yeah. But this makes sense to me. I would love for there to be all the money to go around for all of the sports, but that is not the case. I will be interested to see how BYU handles a program like cross country and track and field that does have such elite level success. Maybe that has earned them a little bit more in the slice of the pie because BYU wants to maintain that elite national championship level in a sport like that. But that's all up for discussion behind closed doors and at way higher pay grades than we have access to. Do you expect it to be wildly different than this model?
No, I wonder on men's hoops. Oh, because you have to remember, too, there are three buckets of money here we're talking about. Scholarships are one thing. You can go over, meaning you can go above what you've been doing to the number of roster spots you could pay everybody if you wanted. But if it goes over $2.5 million in total scholarship, that cuts from your 20.5 top. So teams have to balance that. I doubt many people will go over that and cut into the revenue sharing.
They would, yeah.
Okay, so there's scholarships, there's revenue sharing, and then there's NIL. These are all three different things. So if you're football, men's basketball, you can make a chunk of change now. Where can BYU continue to have its advantage in this space? I think BYU brings things outside of this to the table still, even after this. But what teams will offer maybe a little more in a certain sport where they want to be good? Women's hoops, for example. Men's volleyball, for example.
Yeah, and those are the nuances.
From other schools, like will UCLA men's volleyball put a little more into that program because they care? They won back-to-back natties. They like that. What will that look like in the space? I'm interested to see. It's not just the revenue conversation. It's in roster spots. Okay, you can go up to 105. You can pay up to 105 is essentially what they're saying. You can't have more than 105 players. How many of those are paid? Do you stay at 85 and then there's 20 walk-ons, but now
they're funded by NIL?
They get no revenue sharing, but they're getting some NIL and they don't have a scholarship, you know. It's going to be interesting to see sort of in recruiting what that can look like. And then within these 74% for Texas Tech, who's getting what of that? Is that merit-based? Is that coming out of fall camp? What does that look like? And how do you use that in recruiting when you're recruiting a kid and you say, oh, we can promise you this? It's very interesting to see how that's all going to work. I don't have any of the answers there. I'm just interested to see what is that going to look like. Because in recruiting, that's where a lot of these schools make certain promises.
Yeah.
BYU's pretty consistent of, when you get here, this is what we can do for you.
If there's something I'm confident that BYU can do, it's analyze finances and trends and be really smart with money and revenue.
And ultimately, like Kalani Sitake shared with us on signing day, you aren't coming here to make money. You're coming here for football, for an experience, for a spirituality, for a faith-based education and all of that. And you're
all of those things fill in the gaps.
If it's men's hoops for AJ Dubonsa, it's for development as a player to get you to the NBA and so on and so forth. So, yeah, BYU certainly offers things more than rev share, scholarship, NIL, although BYU is competitive in that
space.
Yes.
And what have we heard? Live and learn, love and learn. Like, BYU will learn once you get into this, like, hey, well, we're going to try this year. And I'm sure they will constantly reassess this model.
Right.
And look at the needs of specific teams and hear the pleadings of certain coaches and programs like, hey, we need a little bit more so they can maneuver things around year to year.
What I don't want to see is the Olympic sports go downhill at all, because BYU cares about the entire athletic department. It's not just football and maybe another sport or two. There's not too many sports at BYU that struggle too much.
No.
This is a great athletic department.
Think about how many fans BYU in some of those Olympic sports put in the stands. Volleyball, men's and women's, specifically women's soccer. Like those teams.
We're talking top 10, top 15 attendance teams.
Yeah. I'm confident because of ticket sales and interest and the success they've had, they create more revenue than other programs with their said Olympic sports. That's a great thing that BYU has going for them in that Olympic sports realm. Yeah. So, hey, fascinating stuff as we push forward in the new world of collegiate sports. All right, on to West Virginia, fellow Big 12 competitor for BYU, and Memphis last night in the Frisco Bowl, Jerem.
I had no idea that happened, by the way.
I saw the highlights, and then it was like, get to the game. It's the fourth quarter. And I was like, oh, there's a bowl game?
I didn't know there was a bowl game last night.
There's a bowl game? Sheesh. And it was an amazing finish.
Was it? Who won? Okay. I don't even know.
It was Memphis in a weird scenario at the end of the game. They had an interception, but
Did they throw any punches? Memphis thought they didn't.
At least not that I know of. Mm. Intercepted the ball, and the game's over, but he fumbled on the interception. So the West Virginia thought they were going to have another last second Hail Mary attempt, but for some reason they decided to uphold the fumble or reverse the call. It was a fumble, and they messed up the call. So that's how the game ended, 42-37 in favor of Memphis.
Fun.
Does the Big 12, with last night's loss in mind, need a good showing in bowl games to help the perception of the league moving forward?
If they had some outstanding record, perhaps, but no. Like last year, if you were like, do you even know what the records were from last year? I looked them up. Big 10 was 6-4, Pac-12, SEC, Big 12, 5-4, ACC, 5-6. Just everyone kind of hovers around 500 from last year. No, I mean, it is what it is. We, the Big 12, playing for third here behind the SEC and ACC. SEC.
It will be a conversation piece if one of the two power conferences struggle.
Well, or if Big 12 was super bad.
Oh, yeah. If a conference super struggles, look at this.
Just like hover around 500 and then we're good, right?
Just like it was with the Pac-12 a few years back. Oh, they went combined 1-8. Awful. Like, that was a thing. So let's have the Big 12 not do that.
But, like, therefore what? The Big 12 was a one-bid league anyway to the playoff.
It just adds to the rhetoric of, like, oh, see, that's power two, and then the rest of you are garbage. Like, I don't like that. I think that the Big 12 is...
It's power two, other two, and then it's group of six.
There is a measure of perception here that I think matters. But
therefore what? Let's say the Big 12 went undefeated.
Try and get rid of some of the rhetoric that the Big 12 is so far removed from in competition. Like in money, clearly.
Who cares about all these other bowl games? It's just about the playoff. The Big 12 only got one team in. What's done is done.
Are you rooting for Arizona State to probably beat Texas?
I would love for the Big 12 to do well in stuff, but ultimately, who cares? It's about the playoff. Who cares about these
other teams? If the Big 12 is matched up with an SEC team or a Big 10 team and they beat them head-to-head, though, I think there is something that matters there. It will matter to the Big 12, probably more than it matters to the SEC and the Big 10, but it will be a thing. It will be.
I don't think so. I feel differently.
So, do you think that if the Big 12 goes like 2-7, it's not a bad thing?
It doesn't
in bowl games.
Therefore what? It doesn't matter.
Then the negative rhetoric is like, see, we told you were garbage. That's what I don't like.
What does it mean, though? It doesn't mean anything.
I don't like that the national rhetoric is out there. That's what. I don't like it.
But, like, it doesn't mean anything. It's just...
To you, but to the nation, to the people. Do you think social media has an influence on people? And what opinions of people do? Like, it matters to them.
It can't help or hurt what already happened, which is one bid to the playoff.
I'm not saying it changes that, but there is perception. There is perception that is affected.
Right. It's already perceived negatively. It won't hurt it.
So why hurt it more?
But it won't help it. It doesn't matter.
I'm trying to say avoid it. Avoid the worse. Like, if it doesn't help, fine. But avoid the bad. Avoid the catastrophe.
The catastrophe already happened. One bid. It's over. Yeah. Okay. BYU basketball with Kevin Young tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. As the coach talks about Florida A&M coming up Friday. And then, Big 12 play coming up in a little under 2 weeks.
Uncle B, Blaine Fowler, joins us next to discuss which player he thinks is the most important for the Cougars to retain in 2025. And what's the deal with the role of the tight ends in BYU's offense? Will it change? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Obviously, we're facing the Heisman Trophy winner, so one of the best athletes in the country.
College football is a lot of fun. I'm really proud of our team.
As a quarterback, I would always love more weapons.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And joining the program now is our dual threat analyst superstar. He is Uncle B, Blaine Fowler. He is a national champion of BYU football in 1984 as well. Uncle B, Merry Early Christmas. Hope you're enjoying the holiday season. And I'm assuming that you're very, very busy, but you got your shopping done. So what are your days spent doing right now in the final few days before the bowl game and before Christmas?
You guys know I still have a couple things I have to get from Brenda. That always comes the last week. And especially like my girls help me out with that. Sometimes I go shopping and I take my phone and I do like a group FaceTime call with all my girls, and they literally walk around the store on FaceTime with me and help me pick some nice stuff out for Brenda. So that has to happen at some point later this week. Other than that, I'm ready to go. And everything else is taken care of. And you know why everything else is taken care of? Because Brenda takes care of everything else. That's why.
Yes, so she does. Kalani Sitake and this coaching staff have things to take care of as well, not just recruiting high school players, which they did in December and they'll do into February, but also the transfer portal. And as we've been talking about, retention of current players. Who is the most important player to retain, in your opinion?
He's not transfer portal risk, so it's not really relative to that. But to get Chase Roberts to come back, I think would be have the biggest impact on BYU. And frankly, I think he is going to come back. And that's huge because this receiving core has already got a group of deep and talented folks coming back. But Chase Roberts is a guy that with Darius moving on would have a chance to be the focal point of the offense. This is why I think if he's considering this, would come back. He could be a guy that goes out and catches 80 balls this next year and goes over 1,000 yards and could really, really improve his draft stock. And so to me, if they can then talk to him about, hey, this is what we're going to do offensively next year. This is how we're going to feature you more next year. This is what your role is going to be. Your role was great, but your role is even going to increase more next year. You have a chance to be a superstar in this league. Come back. And then you add to that the rest of this receiving core that's coming back, and you have Cody Hagan, who's now in year two, to add to that group. I think that he would be the single most important guy, that there is a chance that he could be gone, that if they could convince to come back, would have the most impact on this football team.
Blaine Fowler is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's discuss the risk analysis of Chase deciding to come back. What is the negative or potential downside of him opting to come back and play for BYU for one more season?
To me, the only downside is that he sustains some type of a career-ending injury. I don't think if he plays a full season, as hard as he works and as good as he is, and what I know they would do with him in the offense next year, his draft stock's not going to go down. And there's this idea that, well, I'm not going to get any younger, and my draft stock's, you know, not going to improve. I remember having a talk with James Empey, and James Empey, he had his head right when he went out, and he said, listen, this is where I'm slotted right now, and if I come back next year, I'm not going to move up. The news on me is, or the word on me is, I'm going to be in about the same position next year, only I'm going to be a year older. I don't think that's the case with Chase. I think Chase is not too old, first off, to come back another year. Secondly, if he comes back another year, I actually believe that if he were the feature receiver in this offense, he would have a chance to move up. And with NIL, the way it works now, where he could probably get a raise in his NIL allocation this year, there's an opportunity to make money when you're in school now. So it's a little different story than the old days where the guys were going, I got to go out and make some money. This is my only chance to make money. Well, you can make some money in college right now. I think he could get a little bit more in his NIL. He has a chance to be the featured guy. I think that the risk is that you have a career-ending injury. And I think there's insurance policies out there that could help, you know, mitigate that issue. And so, yeah, I feel like him coming back would be good for BYU and potentially really good for him, because I think he could be a draft pick that moves significantly up if he ends up being a featured guy and catches, let's just say he's up around 80 balls and 1,000 yards. He moves up and he's drafted much higher.
BYU announced tight end Carson Ryan from Utah, played 2 years at UCLA prior to that. BYU certainly hasn't used the tight end maybe as much as years past. What's your kind of sense of how BYU could use Carson Ryan and what kind of player he is?
Yeah, he's the guy that's at every down tight end. So he can play attached and he can block. He can run and catch balls. The big question for him is, can he get back to 100% pre-injury type form? Because remember, he had an injury last January that kind of slowed him down, and he kind of slowly made his way in at the University of Utah. Started out at UCLA, but he's got the type of body and the type of skill set that if he can now, with a full year of coming back, stay healthy, get back to his full potential, he have a big impact on this offense. And I like the fact that he's an every down guy that can do everything, because now you're not situationally substituting. He could play every down, and you don't know whether they're going to throw the football to him or he's just in there to block, because he can do both so well. So yeah, I think he's a great addition. I think he could help that tight end group a lot.
Blaine, let's talk about the tight end position at BYU and how it is currently being utilized, because it's not super impactful, at least in terms of passing game production. BYU fans, because of the history of the tight ends, want to see more of that. They want more Gordon Hudson. They want more Clay Brown and Dennis Pitta and Johnny Harlan and all of the other greats. So how does BYU, and will BYU, get back to using the tight end like they have in previous years and decades?
Yeah, I hope Carson's not the only one they add, because there's a twofold part to this last couple of years, especially this last year. So BYU's strength on this offense and depth was at wide receiver the last year. So you design your offensive game plan around what your strength is. And so it's to get the ball out to the edges to those guys. We've got Darius out there. You got Chase out there. Keelan Marion really coming on at the end of the year. And that's just three of probably six that are really, really effective out there. And the tight end group, believe me, if Dennis Pitta was on the team last year, he would have caught 60 balls. This isn't – because if Dennis Pitta was on the team, Aaron Roderick would have said – I got to get that guy 10 targets a game. He's that good. He's that much of a game changer. Sometimes it's about where your talent lies. And so I think Carson's the first piece of this, right? And he can help upgrade the talent level there. Maybe they'll go get another tight end in the portal in the soft season. And if that balanced talent, you know, if the talent balances out, where, wow, now we're just as good at tight end, and it's just as big a weapon as our wide receiving core is. Now all of a sudden more targets come into play in the game plan. And not only that, the better players get more open, and it's easier for the quarterback to see them and get the ball to them. And so, you know, when BYU has really gifted tight ends, they get the ball to them, and that wouldn't be any exception moving forward. So, you know, if that group can – execute at a higher level and start making a bunch of plays. And mind you, they're still going to have a really talented wide receiver group next year, especially if they can convince Chase to come back. But I do think the tight end will be a bigger part of the offense next year with him there.
Speaking of talent, Travis Hunter, the Heisman winner. Is he more of a concern for BYU in the bowl game as a cornerback or a receiver?
Wide receiver. Like he's a very good corner. Like he's an NFL level corner. He's a lights out wide receiver. Interesting conversations I've been having with Gavin. You guys know Gavin, my son that coaches the safeties at BYU. We were all team Genty like a month ago, right? We're going, what, you know, he is so ridiculous. And is he going to get shut out just because he's at Boise State? He's the best running back we've seen in college football in years and years. He's a big time NFL guy. Well, the game is announced that it's Colorado and BYU. Gavin starts breaking down film. I start looking over his shoulder. We start watching this and breaking down Travis's game. My goodness, you guys. I switched from Team Genty to Team Travis Hunter in a hurry. And so did Gavin. Like, Gavin's like, Dad, this is the best player we have seen all year. Not just the best wide receiver they faced all year, but the best player they faced all year at any position. He's that good, you guys. And so he's very, very special. You have to special game plan for him. You have to bracket him in zone. You have to, you know, maybe get your top cover guy on him when you're in man every time, follow him around the field. And then other people have to be aware of him. You've got to do things to get Sanders off of his mark and moving around, so you can't just stop back and let Travis have forever to work his routes. The best way to describe him is he's not the fastest receiver BYU is going to face this year. He's not the strongest receiver BYU is going to face this year. He probably has the best hands of any receiver BYU will face. But he's just a football player. Like, you watch him, his understanding of how to get open and how to get separation and where to sit in the zone and what he does with the football after he catches it. His just plain old football instincts are just off the charts. Yeah. And that's why he's such a great player. And he catches everything. Anything in his catch radius, he's catching, covered or not. And so he is – the biggest concern for him is on offense. On defense, he's good. You can kind of shy away from him. There, you can do some things to get him out of position. But offensively, you have to pay so much attention to him because he is so gifted. He deserved the Heisman Trophy. And I'm from a guy that just watched a bunch of film in preparation for a game, the best player in America deserved the Heisman Trophy, hands down.
National champion quarterback Uncle B Blaine Fowler is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's talk more about the bowl game and specifically how the result of this game for BYU you feel will impact how this season is perceived by BYU fans and the national pundits. What do you think? Win and loss, how much does it matter in gauging what BYU accomplished this season?
When it's all said and done, we'll look back and win or lose, we'll go, wow, that was so far above expectations. That's crazy how much better they were than we thought they were going to be. I do think a win is important, and here's the reason. I feel like there's carryover to the next season. I feel like if BYU beats Colorado and looks solid in this, then all the folks that vote in preseason polls and all that, they take a look and they go, wow, got the quarterback coming back. Let's say Chase announces he's coming back. They have their primary receiver coming back. They added a big-time tight end. This offense is back. The defense is losing some key people up front, but in the transfer portal, they're going to see that we're going to get some dudes, and they're going to go, you know what? We probably need to rank this team in the preseason. And you see what a difference that makes. Let's say that BYU had the same record they had right now, but they started this season number 14. There's a much greater chance they'd be in the college football playoff right now. The Big 12 would have had two teams.
Yep. And it matters.
And the fact that it preseason matters and carryover matters. And people are like, well, that team you were on in 84, you guys were unranked. But you know what? The team the year before was number 7 in the country. That's what we finished in 83. That was still in people's minds. So we go and we beat Pitt, and we're immediately ranked.
Yes, you beat the number 3 team.
Yeah, we're immediately ranked, and then we just kept moving up. Part of the reason we moved up at the pace we moved up is because people started to go back and go, wow, they do have a lot of pieces back from a really phenomenal team last year that finished number 7 in the country. We just didn't have them ranked because we weren't sure they were going to be able to replace the great Steve Young. And once that question was answered, we actually had bias in our favor because of the year before. I think that a win against Colorado can solidify one of the best seasons BYU's ever had and launch them into next season where they're likely preseason ranked and gives them a better chance at the college football playoff when you start the season ranked. So to me, that's what's on the line here. If they lose it, it's not, whoa, all is lost. It still is a phenomenal year compared to what our expectations were. But wouldn't it be nice to finish on a win and to have all of that momentum going into 2026?
No doubt about it. Do it for the preseason ranking. Blaine, great stuff. Always good to talk to you. Good luck with the remainder of your Christmas shopping and all of the multitasking involved.
I may call you guys for some advice because I know you guys are experts on wife shopping.
Yes. If you need help with colors too, just let us know.
Yeah, because you know I'm colorblind, so sometimes I need some help. I know you guys are always on FaceTime for me if the girls aren't available.
You got it, brother. So, we'll be your B team.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Blaine.
Oh, the always great Blaine Fowler. After the break, we'll hear from BYU coaches and players specifically about playing against the Heisman Trophy winner Travis Hunter and from Deion Sanders on what he's seeing from BYU as he prepares the Buffaloes for their bowl game showdown. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem. Let's roll out your Wednesday headlines.
BYU football has practiced this morning as they continue to prep for the Alamo Bowl against Colorado in a ranked matchup. Earlier this week, players and coaches from the offense and defense spoke about the challenge and opportunity of playing against the Heisman Trophy winner Travis Hunter.
He's probably the best football player I've ever seen. I mean, he's an unbelievable player. To play 100 and something snaps every game and be that good on offense and then cover people the way he does in the fourth quarter of games after he's played 100 plays is like, I've never seen him like it.
I'm very excited. I don't actually know Travis and back home. He played schools in the same area back in Georgia, so he always been that kid, you know, been that kid before everybody even knew who he was.
the competitor in all of us. We want to play against the best. So seeing Travis win the Heisman on Saturday, I think we were all excited knowing that, you know, we get to go out and play against the Heisman winner.
That's cool that Keelan Marion played against him, huh?
Yeah.
Collins Hills High. Shout out to my cousin Clarissa, who went to that same high school. Colorado currently a 3-point favorite over BYU.
The Buffs and their head coach Deion Sanders spoke to the general media yesterday. Here's Coach Prime on what he sees from BYU after film review.
Consistent team that can run the ball, they can throw the ball. They defend well. Discipline. I see a lot of discipline, a lot of young men that may not receive some of the accolades that they deserve, but they work their butts off and they do a wonderful job. So trust me, ain't nobody taking them light. They're not sneaking up on us. We know what they're coming with.
The Alamo Bowl kicks off on Saturday, December 28th, 7:30 Eastern on ABC.
BYU officially signs former Ute and UCLA tight end Carson Ryan. Comes to BYU after spending last season in Utah, where he had 10 catches for 113 yards and a touchdown. Had a 7-yard catch against BYU. Ryan played two seasons at UCLA, where he had 19 catches for 287 yards, 3 touchdowns. This is his final year of eligibility as a former American Fork caveman.
BYU wide receiver and kick return specialist Keelan Marion collecting all of the pre-Christmas presents.
It's like every day he's named to an All-American.
More All-American honors, named to the Sporting News All-America second team as a kick returner. Marion previously, to your point, Jerem, earning All-America honors from the Football Writers Association of America, Walter Camp, CBS Sports, College Football Network, and Pro Football Focus. I am speed!
We haven't mentioned he is the BYU Sports Nation Kick Returner of the Year.
Oh, yeah. We should add that.
Congratulations.
A dubious honor.
You did. Glenn Stockton named a semifinalist for the George Munger Award, given annually to the National College Football Coach of the Year after leading BYU to a 10-2 regular season. Number 17 national ranking.
About some volleyball news. Sophomore outside hitter Claire Little named an AVCA All-America honorable mention this morning. Little led the BYU women with 427 kills this season while hitting at a clip of 275. Little third in the Big 12 in total kills, kills per set, and points per set. This is the 14th consecutive season that BYU has featured at least one volleyball student athlete in the All-American citations.
What an honor to be mentioned. That's what an honorable
mention. Honorable mention. Right?
And former BYU men's volleyball player and assistant coach Lucas Labe is added to the USA men's volleyball indoor national team staff with Karch Karai as head coach after being the head coach of NC State women's volleyball. Congrats to Luca. He was with the women's team in the 21 gold in China, and now he is with the USA men's.
Let's go. After the break, we turn our attention to BYU men's basketball and Dallin Hall. His list of goals included serving a mission, playing in the NBA, and we hear him share why he believes he can accomplish both in the latest Deep Blue. This is BYUSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. BYU basketball junior guard Dallin Hall has a list of goals he reviews each night. One major goal was to serve a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Check. Another is to play in the NBA, and many have told Dallin that playing in the NBA is unrealistic, and going on a mission would be detrimental for that NBA goal. Dallin feels differently. This is Deep Blue with Dallin Hall.
I have a laminated paper right next to my bed. You know, it's got some of my spiritual goals. It's got some of my goals of playing in the NBA, playing Division I basketball. You know, a lot of nights, going to sleep, taking a glance at it, and it was just a constant reminder of chasing those dreams.
Every year that you go into school, you'd sit with a counselor and they would ask you like what your goals are for the year and what you want to be.
And I tell them, you know, I want to play in the NBA.
Kindergarten all the way through 12th grade.
They say, well, what's your backup plan? And I hit them with a Kobe line. Plan B distracts from plan A.
My name is Mr. Stevens. I was Dallin's sixth grade teacher at Plain City Elementary. I remember talking to that class about careers, and Dallin was adamant that he was going to go to the NBA. And I pulled up the statistics on the chances anybody goes to the NBA. And I then said, prove me wrong.
You know, we made a deal that if I made it to the NBA, then he owed me $600 and I owed him a car. I don't know why we made that bet, but it made sense to me at the time. And then if I didn't, then I owed him $600 and He's actually one of my favorite teachers, so it was something that was fun to us, but it started to make me aware of how difficult this dream actually was going to be.
But I said, one of the reasons why people don't go to the NBA is because they don't have the work ethics that's required to get there.
The more he found out how hard it would be, the harder he wanted to work.
No one that I know is putting in 1,000 shots a day as in seventh or eighth grader, so I think that's just kind of a testament of how hardworking he is.
I think that's really the thing that he saw was maybe this is a goal that's gonna be really difficult, and so if I'm gonna get there, I really, really am gonna have to work hard to do it.
Fast forward 3 years, I'm in the ninth grade. We're playing AAU basketball, traveling all over the country, and I have my teammates who are some of my best friends, big time players, and going into our sophomore years, some of them start to get scholarship offers.
He's not about scores, he's not about dunks. Like, there's been kids who would get scholarship offers from crazy dunks that they would throw down in the game, and yeah, he wasn't doing any of that. He's just a selfless player.
He'd get frustrated with himself after a game, saying, I just don't know, you know, if I should shoot it more, if I should look to score more and do those type of things. So it was self-doubt of like, am I good enough to play at the next level? And will they actually see that I'm good enough to play based on the way I'm playing? If he didn't play college basketball, then he certainly couldn't play professional basketball.
So I think the first time that he got recognized for his potential and the way that he actually plays the game was at a game in California where he only had 2 points.
We were watching him play, we're like, who is that kid? He made every right pass, he made every right play. You know, he had the best energy, toughest motor on the team. We have to offer that kid.
And this coach was just raving about what a great job he did and how they would have lost by even more than just the 1 point. They would have lost by a couple dozen if they wouldn't have had him as their point guard.
So when we brought him in and met with him and his mom and his dad, we talked about those things. And it was like this light bulb that went off with like, yes, like that's exactly who I am. That's how I want to play. And we told him, just trust this. People are going to see each year the value you bring.
It was a pivotal moment for me, for my life too. I feel like it taught me we all have gifts and we have things that we do really well. And when we start to doubt those or maybe not believe in ourselves, that can take us away from a path that could lead to a lot of success. And then I came up to like my mission, right? And I have everyone telling me, don't go on a mission, man, because you're gonna lose all your basketball skills. And so that was a scary instance because it was people I trusted, people I looked up to.
So when these larger schools were recruiting him and they asked him what his plans were, he told them that he was gonna serve a 2-year mission, and they were really polite and they encouraged him, but they never talked to him again. And he never wavered on that. He always wanted to serve a mission. He always wanted to go out and share the gospel with people. I really don't think it set him back. I actually think it's made him mentally tougher. I think it's made him a better player.
You know, my faith in God has always been a priority in my life. So I took that leap of faith and feel like everything's worked out so well so far. And I grew as a person on my mission and learned skills that helped me for my whole life.
In college, he's realized that, hey, man, you may have been the starter in high school and you may have been known in your community as a really good player, but you might be a redshirt. You know, you might not get to play a single minute, and you better get to work right away because there's no guarantee that you're even going to get on the floor to play. And so when he got home from his mission, he was like, man, I have to compete as hard as I can possibly compete just to get 1 minute on the floor at BYU.
He earned a lot of things his freshman year. Even though our season didn't go the way we wanted, he was still that person that kind of kept our vibe and everything, our morale and everything high. And then the next year happened and, you know, he had to kind of re-earn that spot. And so he has gone through a lot of different trials of just trying to prove everybody wrong.
He was one of the first ones to be like, hey, I'm coming back, right? I want to be a part of this. So guys respect him. Guys know that he's about the right things. And so he commands the room, right? He's like an extension of the coaching staff out there, whether it's in the room, whether it's in the locker room, whether it's the lounge, just hanging out. Guys just really look up to him.
There's no overseas talk. There's no G League talk. There's no, you know, anything else. It's the NBA. And I think Dallin is the perfect, you know, person to look at and say, oh, this person's not gonna go to the NBA because he's in Utah. He's playing for a school that is just becoming part of a Power Five conference. And you can put all these different things that can cancel somebody out, but that's not who Dallin is. Like, he takes all that and it fuels him.
God cares about things that are important to me in this life. He also has a bigger plan for me as well. And so I've tried my best to trust in him and his plan, but also understanding that I have to put the work forward myself and then leave the rest to him. And so that's been a constant theme in my life, is working like everything depends on me, but praying like everything depends on God. And so that's kind of the recipe I try and follow.
More BYU Sports Nation after this. Our lead voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare, elevated from Chan Bam on Instagram on BYU's most important player to retain, says Chase Roberts. You're bringing back a productive receiver, team leader.
Yep.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Austin Pay got his mission call to Scotland, Ireland. Congratulations.
Great job. Our thanks to today's guest, Blaine Fowler.
Sorry, Dennis.
Go Cougs. We'll see you tomorrow.